Shalom, everyone, and welcome to the next edition of our Parasha podcast here for with Congregation Beth Am. I am Rabbi David Kornberg. I'm here with Rabbi Ern.
Hello.
And we are speaking about Parshat Chayei Sarah. Now, one of the interesting things about this particular Parsha is, although it starts with the concept, the title is The Life of Sarah, It's actually the death of Sarah. That's where this parsha begins, and it creates all sorts of challenges for Avraham. And as I look at this particular parsha, I think Avraham is really trying to be focused here on how he's going to continue, what's going to happen next. And as we look at some of the things that he does, whether it's buying the cave of Machpelah, setting himself an anchor in the land of Israel, finding a wife for his son, even ultimately getting remarried, and the rabbis talk a lot about that. These are all issues of continuity. How do we continue from one moment to the next? And as we know, continuity is a huge buzzword within Judaism and Jewish tradition. And so I thought maybe, Rabbi Aaron, let's talk a little bit about that today, and especially vis-a-vis our portfolios and what we do here. Sure. How do we think about Jewish continuity in the United States and America 2022.
Yeah. It's interesting. The word chayei has two meanings, right? On one hand, we're talking about the life of Sarah because it refers to a woman who was 127, and it refers to her life that she lived. At the same time, the main content of the parasha is about what Avraham does to make sure that her legacy lives on to the choices he makes for his son.
Yeah, it's true. And what's also interesting to me, and it's a little bit tangential, I know, is it's one of only two parshiot that actually have a name of one of our characters in it, right? Yitro is one. This is the other one. Right. I don't believe there's any, maybe I'm missing one and you can, right? But I don't believe there's any, I mean, even Moses doesn't have
a
parsha. That's true. Noah, there you go.
You know, a couple more.
Yeah. That's true. There are a few more. But this idea of look, let's look at Sarah. Let's look at who she was. And look, for a lot of our understanding of our patriarchs, Sarah was very involved in Jewish continuity as well. Mm-hmm. She was really thinking, she was a forward-thinking woman. She was thinking about how to protect her son, how to look forward, and that was some of the challenges that we had. Mm-hmm. And it ties back to this issue of continuity.
Yes, it's a very good point. Sarai, and then later Sarah, was always focused on continuity. Mm-hmm. That's very true. That was she. In fact, she was the one who came up with the idea of Hagar being the Pelegesh, I don't know what the right word is.
The handmaiden, concubine.
So that, you know, Avram's legacy could come to fruition. And she identified as a barren woman. So she was always thinking about what she could do. And then how does Avraham mourn her? What's the first thing he does is make sure that steps are in place so that, first of all, she has a burial place, but more importantly, that Isaac has a wife that can continue on the covenant.
So as we think about continuity in today's day and age, as you and I talk and think about continuity for Beth Am and our students and our families, what are some of the things that you're really thinking about in the schools and what are some of the things that I think we really put forward so our congregation kind of knows how we're thinking about this?
I'm going to frame it around life cycle events that both you and I have officiated at, and every time we officiate, whether it's directly asked or it's just thought about, people ask, you know, is this going to be meaningful? What makes a successful bris, baby naming, or bar mitzvah? And for me, I often think the answer that people are looking for is, if you say this prayer, right? Or if you say this blessed, if you speak to your child in this way and say the right words. But really what I'm carrying with me when that question is asked is a successful bris and baby naming is, are they going to continue in a Jewish preschool? Right? A successful bar mitzvah is, will they continue their Jewish education and connection to Jewish community in eighth grade and beyond? And a successful graduation ceremony is, will they continue their Jewish identity in college? And so on and so on. Continuity is what I'm ultimately looking for in all of these life cycle moments.
So it's interesting, you know, since you're speaking about life cycles, which is really sort of my portfolio. Yes, funny. I'm gonna actually speak about education for a moment, which is your portfolio.
Fair enough.
Right, as we do. And I know, I mean, you've put a lot of time and effort into this idea that education here is an arc.
Correct.
Right? It's connected one to the next. Right. And you spend a lot of time with our students in figuring out, you know, how one school leads into the next, how mm-hmm. one educational moment builds yeah. into the next one. Right. And to me, I would say if we take both of these ideas together, I think we're starting to understand what continuity means, right? Mm-hmm. Continuity is about providing a foundation that the next generation can build on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not about giving them the building, because we don't know what the building is going to look like back then mm-hmm. or, you know, in the next mm-hmm. years. But if we give them a foundation, mm-hmm. then they're going to be able to take that next step. And then mm-hmm. the next generation will be able to take the next step. And we mm-hmm. continue when we mm-hmm. continue to grow. I was sharing with you earlier, there was a great quote by Rabbi Adin Steinsaltz, the Talmudist. And he was asked, what is Jewish continuity? And he said, a Jew is not someone whose grandparents are Jewish, but someone who wants his or her grandchildren to be Jewish. That is as good a definition as I can imagine for the term Jewish continuity. If we're thinking about that next generation, not just thinking about ourselves, mm-hmm. but if we're thinking about that next generation and saying, what can I do today for me, for my children, for their children, to create a fertile ground for them to have their Judaism grow, mm-hmm. that's Jewish continuity. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What's your thought on that?
I agree. And I think the challenge that our community faces, and I think it's a fair challenge when we are so busy, is to engage in magical thinking, right? That if I want it, then my children, grandchildren will continue the Jewish education. And it's something that I can pray for and I could advocate for. But, you know, I'm too busy, right, to really be a part of that story.
Right. Or even pray for, advocate for, or even sometimes demand, right?
Yeah, right.
We say, well, to our children, this is what you're going to do. Right. And this is what I expect.
Right.
And
right.
as we all know, our children grow up and become their own people. And right. very often it's those very things that we delineate that our children push against, at least in the beginning,
right.
the most.
Right.
And so as we think about continuity, how do we create that place for our children to grow and find themselves without limiting them and right. yet still giving right. them the tools and the guidance?
Right. I think one of our most powerful tools that we can use is role modeling. You had very kindly talked about the arc, you know, that I'm putting together. And one of the central pieces of the arc is having a very strong madrichim. These are teen teacher assistants who come back into our Hebrew school and are role models for the younger children to look up to and be like, oh, like when I graduate in sixth grade, it's not over, but I can then continue and follow their example. And similarly, parents often ask, what's the most important thing for me to do at the bar mitzvah ceremony? And all I'm thinking about, the most important thing is just to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And when they say that you are there and you are supporting them in what they are doing, that is communicating a message of support, and you're role modeling what it means to be a Jewish adult for your child.
Right, and not only that, I would say, you know, living a Jewish life, and that doesn't mean keeping every single mitzvah, you know, I mean, every family is gonna make their choice.
Right.
But if we're saying to our children, you need to go to JLC or to Sabra because Jewish education is important,
right.
and we as adults don't do anything to further our own Jewish right. education, to nourish our own Jewish soul,
right. Right.
how do we, that message is going to come across to our children of saying, well, this is something that I'm saying, but not something that I'm doing.
Yeah.
And to go back to the magical thinking piece, right, it ultimately takes work. No matter right. what it is we try to right. do, anything that's important in our life
right.
takes work. If we want to build a business, it takes work. If we want to create a solid marriage, it takes work.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to build a Jewish identity and a foundation for our family and for our children, it takes a tremendous amount of effort and work. It's loving work,
mm-hmm.
but it's work.
Yeah. You can see a nice piece about Avraham doing role modeling. And, you know, in this week's Torah portion, he demonstrates how important it is to bury your past and to fulfill the wishes of your loved ones And then later on this week's Torah portion, in the conflict over the wells, right, that there wasn't enough wells that were dug, and Isaac's trying to create a peace, he names these wells after Avram's wells himself, sort of by doing that, showing that, hey, I remember, just like Avram remembered his past, that was important for him, so too do I remember my past, and he sort of embodies Avram's role modeling in that case.
You know, it's interesting. I'll close with this. You know, I just did a baby naming this morning on the day we happened to be taping this. Yeah. And, you know, as we talk about these life cycle events, I always remind the family that the name that we have, more than just about anything else, really talks about the nexus between the past and the future.
Yeah.
Right? We name, especially in the Ashkenazi world, we name after people who have mm-hmm. come before us, that we want to remember, that we want to honor. And yet this... we have no idea what this young child is yet going to do. Mm-hmm. And it is such a statement of hope. It is such a statement of looking forward. Mm-hmm. As we look past, it's a very, very powerful moment, I think.
And it's an act that everyone, if they're blessed, can take advantage of thinking about a name, because when you give someone else a name, you're connecting them to your past.
Awesome. Awesome. Great conversation with you, Rabbi Ern. This is our Parsha of Chayei Sarah. Join us next week for our next Parsha podcast.
Okay.